Благодаря вас, госпожа председател.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to keep anybody here, but do we have any very much time left at all? How much time have we got? Thank you. If possible, I'd like to take advantage of this very interesting and useful discussion to share with you a few observations as a reaction to the points made by the presenters. I would like to thank you for your contributions to our discussions. I would like to dwell on a couple of points. We fully agree that it is necessary to take practical measures to implement the normative base that already exists, and we are trying to focus on that, but unfortunately right now our hands are bound, our hands are tied. I understand that our colleague Ivan also spoke about this. We cannot force other sovereign states to implement the obligations they have entered into and the voluntary promises they have entered into, but we do draw attention to the fact that there are countries that have certain reservations concerning human rights and in particular the work to fight racism. And unfortunately, violations are continuing to exist of this commitment not to engage in racism. And I think we as experts have to think of what we can really do in real terms. I came up with a proposal to combat racism, racial discrimination, etc., in all treaty bodies. I've noted that down. That's an interesting subject on the one hand, but if we take up this stance on racism, we would have to do the same for the elimination of discrimination against women as well. And in principle, that is something we are doing already, and the whole idea of combating discrimination against women is covered in all of the treaty bodies. So therefore, we could try to make the subject of racism be addressed at the same level. But as for other categories of human rights, what would we do about the rights of specific categories, such as the rights of children and the rights of migrants? We do need to give that further thought. Also, we agree that there is a very important role to be played by non-governmental organizations and their alternative shadow reports. And also my colleague from South Africa has already said something about this. Unfortunately, in our opinion, the representatives of civil society do not even know sometimes of the possibility of presenting these shadow reports or of submitting individual statements to treaty bodies or sharing information with the special procedures. And we think that the OHCHR could step up its work in this sphere and with the assistance of social media as well. For example, they could inform everyone more actively about these possibilities and the specific deadlines for submitting information, as well as the possibilities that exist for sending in individual communications to treaty bodies. We note that this kind of work is already underway, but the quality and scope, in our opinion, of that work is insufficient. And I think appealing to treaty bodies concerning the defense of state party reports has shown that there are not all that many alternative reports. And some of the work done does not really reflect the true scope of the problem. Therefore, we think we should truly involve civil society more. And as for substantive aspects, if the states, certain states, are being considered, then the civil society representatives could be contacted. And we are trying not to put any pressure on anyone. We are working separately with NGOs, but sometimes this means that there aren't that many who are involved in the consideration of state party reports. Now again, in treaty bodies last year, there was a report submitted on the elimination of racial discrimination, and there were some alternative reports, not that many, but unfortunately the recommendations put forward by the committee were quite diluted. And we think that in that country we knew there was a problem of racism and that has to be combated. And secondly, after some time, once countries have to present their next report and there has been a analysis of the degree to which the recommendations of CERD have been implemented, even these diluted recommendations were not fully implemented. So in the case of certain countries, we are presenting a limited picture of what is really being done to combat racism. And very briefly, I would like to talk about intersecting discrimination, as was mentioned by Ms. Rowland. This is such an important element. We think we have to look at this intersecting discrimination, but in certain cases, when we immediately look at different types of discrimination and the ways in which they intersect, we can sometimes lose sight or move away from a focus on racial discrimination, perhaps move towards other forms of discrimination. So when defending various state party reports in treaty bodies, we've seen a situation where an expert asks a question. For example, in the CERD, they ask a question about intersecting or cross-sectional forms of discrimination, and then say discrimination against women and discrimination against sexual minorities, and how is the state combating those? And the state party responds on those aspects, but doesn't say anything about racial discrimination. So I think this phenomenon is something that has to be borne in mind. We think it's important not to lose sight of the focus on racism and racial discrimination and combating them, and intersectional multiple forms of discrimination should not soften the focus on the need to combat racial discrimination first and foremost. Thank you.